Welcome to Enabled, the weekly program about people just like you who are dealing with issues of vision loss. The program is designed to encourage you through news you can use, inspirational stories, and interviews. I'm Nancy Zimmer, your host for Enabled. Thank you for joining me. Once again, I have a program in two parts for you. To start things off, I have information about Social Security and people who have vision problems. The second part of the program will be about retinal imaging. The first part, Social Security information, is from a booklet with the title, If You Are Blind or Have Low Vision, How We Can Help. It's published by the U.S. government, the Social Security Department. Starting that booklet, we have four topics. If you're blind or have low vision, you can work while receiving benefits. Another topic that will be covered is special services for people who are blind. Contacting Social Security will be the last thing we go over. First part, if you're blind or have low vision, we have special rules that allow you to receive benefits when you are unable to work. We pay benefits to people who are blind under two programs. The first one is called the Social Security Disability Insurance Program, and the second program they sponsor is Supplemental Security Income Program. That's abbreviated SSI. The medical rules we use to decide whether you are blind are the same for each program. Other rules, however, are different. We explain the different rules for each program below. You can get disability benefits. This is for the first program, Social Security Disability Insurance Program. You can get disability benefits if you're blind. You may qualify for Social Security or SSI disability if you're blind. We consider you to be blind if your vision can't be corrected to better than 20 over 200 in your better eye, or if your visual field is 20 degrees or less in your better eye, for a period that lasted or is expected to last at least 12 months. You can get disability benefits even if you're not blind. If your vision doesn't meet Social Security's definition of blindness, you may still qualify for disability benefits if your vision problems alone or combined with other health problems prevent you from working. For Social Security disability benefits, you must also have worked long enough in a job where you paid Social Security taxes. For SSI payments based on disability and blindness, you need not have worked, but your income and resources must be under certain dollar limits. How you qualify for Social Security disability benefits. When you work and pay Social Security taxes, you earn credits that count toward future Social Security benefits. If you are blind, you can earn credits any time during your working years. Credits for your work after you become blind can be used to qualify you for benefits if you don't have enough credits at the time you became blind. Also, if you don't have enough credits to get Social Security disability benefits, based on your own earnings, you may be able to get benefits based on the earnings of one of your parents or of your spouse. For more information about Social Security disability benefits, contact, and I'll be giving you lots of contact information, because they say contact us to get a publication called Disability Benefits. This booklet is available in Braille and other formats, so ask. The next topic they cover is disability freeze. There is a special rule that may help you get higher retirement or disability benefits someday. You can use this rule if you are blind but aren't getting disability benefits now because you're still working. If your earnings are lower because of your blindness, we can exclude those years when we calculate your Social Security, retirement, or disability benefit in the future. Because Social Security benefits are based on your average lifetime earnings, your benefit will be higher if we don't count those years. We call this rule a disability freeze, so contact us if you want to file for this freeze. Next topic, you can get SSI disability payments. SSI payments are based on need. Your income and resources must be less than certain dollar limits. The income limits vary from one state to another. You need not have worked under Social Security to qualify for SSI. Ask your local Social Security office about the income limits in your state and contact us for another booklet that they suggest. This one is called Supplemental Security Income, or SSI booklet. This booklet's available in Braille and other formats, you have to ask. Next topic is you can work while you're receiving benefits. Rules, they're called work incentives, make it easier for people receiving disability benefits to work. People getting Social Security disability benefits can continue to receive their benefits when they work, as long as their earnings are not more than an amount set by law. If you're receiving Social Security disability benefits and you're blind, you can earn as much as $1,950 a month. Now, please note, this is a comment from me. This is the figure that was given for the year 2017, last year. The website was not updated when I last checked it for the 2018 earning limits. In 2017, it was $1,950. This is higher, they say, than the earnings limit of $1,170 a month that applies to disabled workers who aren't blind. The earnings limits usually change each year. And once again, check, try to find out about 2018. The article continues, additionally, if you're blind and self-employed, we don't evaluate the time you spend working in your business as we do for people who aren't blind. This means you can be doing a lot of work for your business, but still receive disability benefits as long as your net profit averages $1,950 or less a month, and that, once again, is the 2017 figure. Next topic is work figured differently after the age of 55. If you are age 55 or older and blind, we use determination rules about work for you that are different from the rules we use for people who aren't blind. After age 55, even if your earnings exceed that figure, we're saying $1,950 in 2017, if your earnings exceed that, whatever the figure is for this year, benefits are only suspended. They're not terminated if the work you're doing requires a lower level of skill and ability than what you did before you reached the age of 55. We'll pay you disability benefits for any month your earnings fall below this limit. Different work incentives apply to people getting SSI. For more information about all the work incentives for people who receive either Social Security disability or SSI disability, contact us and ask for the publication titled Working While Disabled, How We Can Help. This booklet is available in Braille and other formats. The next section covers special services for people who are blind or have low vision. Some services and products are designed specifically for people who are blind or have low vision. The first of these, Social Security notices. You can choose to receive notices from us in any one of the following ways. Just let us know which you prefer. There's a bunch of them here. You can request standard print notice by first-class mail, standard print notice by certified mail, standard print notice by first-class mail and a follow-up telephone call. You can request a Braille notice and a standard print notice by first-class mail. You can request a Microsoft Word file on a data compact disk and a standard print notice by first-class mail. You can also request an audio CD along with a standard print notice by first-class mail or large print, 18-point print on the notice and a standard print notice by first-class mail. To select one of these options, you can visit the website, which is very helpful. It's called www.socialsecurity.gov/notices and follow the steps that they provide. Here's a toll-free number, and I'll be repeating this. This is for any of these questions or pamphlets that you may want to have sent to you or to change the way you receive your information. The toll-free number is 1-800-772-1213. If you are deaf or hard of hearing, you may call the TTY number, 1-800-325-0778. Or you can always write to or visit your local Social Security office. If you have already requested notices in one of the seven formats that I just mentioned, but you need us to provide a particular Social Security document in your preferred format, just let us know. If you would like to receive notices in another way, please call us in that 800 number, 1-800-772-1213. Or go to your local Social Security office so we can begin processing your request. If we are unable to approve your request, we will send you the reason in writing and tell you how to appeal the decision. If you have any questions about a Social Security notice, call toll-free, again, same number, 1-800-772-1213, and you can ask for the notice to be read to you or explained to you. The next section is called Publications Available in Alternative Formats. They say, we make all our publications available in multiple formats, including Braille, audio cassette tapes, compact discs, or enlarged print upon request. And most of our publications are currently available in audio format on the website socialsecurity.gov/PUBS for publications. To request copies of these publications in alternative formats, you can go to that website and you can order them online or, again, call us toll-free. You know the number by now, 1-800-772-1213. The TTY number, again, if you're deaf or hard of hearing, is 800-325-0778. You could also, to request these changes, mail, call, or fax your request to the Braille Services Branch at the Social Security Administration. They have a mailing address here for you. It's the Social Security Administration, Alternative Media Services, 6401 Security Boulevard, 1305 Annex Building in Baltimore, Maryland, 21235. The phone number, do I really have to tell you again? 772-1213, and with an 800 in front of that number. They do have a local Maryland number, too, if you'd like to call them on their local line. It's area code 410-965-6414. And please, they tell you to please have the following information available when you contact us. Be familiar with the title of the pamphlet or fact sheet that you want, your preferred format that you're requesting. You can request Braille, audio cassette tape, compact disc, or enlarged print. Also have your name, mailing address, and telephone number for the person to whom we should send the requested publication. This is especially good if you're calling and requesting the information for someone else. Be sure you have their name, mailing address, and phone number. The next section is titled Contacting Social Security. There are several ways to contact Social Security, including online, by phone, and in person. We're here to answer your questions and to serve you. They say, for more than 80 years, Social Security has helped secure today and tomorrow by providing benefits and financial protections for millions of people throughout their life's journey. Visit our website is their first suggestion. The most convenient way to conduct Social Security business from anywhere at any time is to go to the website, www.socialsecurity.gov. And there you can do, there's a list of six things, maybe five things that you can do at this website. The first thing, and I highly recommend this, create your own account that you can access online. Create what they call a My Social Security account. That's what it's all called, My Social Security account. In that area, you can review your Social Security statement, verify your earnings, print a benefit verification letter. You can change your direct deposit information. You can request a replacement Medicare card or get a replacement 1099 form or a 1042S and lots more if you create your My Social Security account. You do this online at www.socialsecurity.gov. You can also at that site apply for extra help with Medicare prescription drug plan costs. You could at that site apply for retirement, disability, and or Medicare benefits. At that site, socialsecurity.gov, you can find copies of our publications, and they have a whole list of frequently asked questions, FAQs, that are answered for you at the website. So here we go again. You can call us as well. If you don't have access to the internet, we offer many automated services by telephone, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call us toll-free. Here it comes, last time, 1-800-772-1213. Or their TTY number, if you're deaf or hard of hearing, is 1-800-325-0778. If you need to speak to a person, a real person, I might add, we can answer your calls from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Friday, and I would assume that that's Eastern time because it looks like their office is located in Maryland. So we do ask for your patience during busy periods since you may experience higher than usual rate of busy signals and longer hold times to speak to us. We look forward to serving you. This is information from the Social Security Administration from the U.S. government. And once again, that phone number, say it with me, 1-800-772-1213 for Social Security information. Next, we will switch to the next part of our program. This is a double feature, two things happening in this program. This part of the program is called Retinal Imaging, is the second half of the program. I was motivated to do this by an article that appeared in USA Today very, very recently. It was published on February 20th of this year, and I was surprised. It sounds like some interesting development that's going on. The headline reads, it's a short article, the headline reads, "Scanning Your Eyes Could Reveal Heart Disease." And this is according to Google. The article was written by Edward Bagg from USA Today. This was printed in the paper, the print copy 2/20/2018. The article says, "I can look into your eyes and see straight to your heart." Well, this may sound like a sappy sentiment from a Hallmark card. Essentially, though, that's what researchers at Google did in applying artificial intelligence to predict something deadly serious. The likelihood that a patient will suffer a heart attack or a stroke. The researchers at Google made these determinations by examining images of the patient's retina. Google, which presented its findings in a journal, this is an online medical journal that they first presented the findings in, it's called Nature Biomedical Engineering. This is where they gave their report. In that article, it says that such a method is as accurate as predicting cardiovascular disease through more invasive measures that involve sticking a needle in a patient's arm. At the same time, Google cautions that more research needs to be done. According to the company, researchers have previously shown some correlation between retinal vessels and the risk of major cardiovascular episode. Using the retinal image, Google says it was able to quantify this association and 70% of the time accurately predict which patient within 5 years would experience a heart attack or other major cardiovascular event and which patient would not. Those results were in line with testing methods that require blood to be drawn to measure a patient's cholesterol levels. Google used models based on data from 284,335 patients, and then they validated this with data from two independent data sets of 12,000, a little over 12,000, and a little under 1,000 patients. The article ends with a quote that says, "The caveat to do this is that it's early, and we trained this on a small data set," said Google's Lily Peng, a doctor and lead researcher on the project. We think that the accuracy of this prediction will go up a little bit more as we kind of get more comprehensive data. Discovering that we could do this is a good first step, but we need to validate. So the headline again from USA Today says, "Scanning your eyes could reveal heart disease, retinal imaging." So appropriately, the very next article is from www.webmd.com, and the question is asked, what is retinal imaging? Retinal imaging takes a digital picture of the back of your eye. It shows the retina, where the light and images hit. It also shows the optic disc, which is a spot on the retina that holds the optic nerve The optic nerve is that that thing back there which sends information to the brain. And retinal imaging also shows blood vessels. This helps your optometrist or ophthalmologist find certain diseases and check the health of your eyes. Doctors have long used a tool called an ophthalmoscope to look at the back of your eye. Retinal imaging allows doctors to get a much wider digital view of the retina. It doesn't replace a regular eye exam, but it adds another layer of precision to it. So who gets this test? Your doctor may recommend it, a retinal imaging test, if you have any of the following diseases or conditions. The first one, diabetes. This disease, diabetes, can damage the blood vessels in your retina. Over time, it causes you to lose your sight if it's not controlled. Your doctor might also recommend that you get some retinal images if you have macular degeneration. The central part of the retina, called the macula, starts to get worse with age. You may have blurry vision and find it harder to focus. If that happens, you may be considered legally blind, even though you may still have peripheral vision. There are two kinds of macular degeneration, wet and dry. Dry macular degeneration is by far the most common form of this disease, with up to 90% of people who have macular have the dry macular kind. This happens when blood vessels under the retina become thin and brittle. Next, wet macular degeneration. Abnormal blood vessels grow under the retina, and that's what causes wet macular degeneration. Vision loss is usually very fast. Retinal imaging is very important in finding this type of macular degeneration. Now, the third disease or condition that you might have would be glaucoma. This disease damages your optic nerve, which is located in the retina, and may cause vision loss. It typically happens when fluid builds up in the front part of your eye. It can cause blindness, but it normally progresses very slowly and can be treated with special eye drops to lower the pressure caused by the fluid. Again, if you have glaucoma, you might be in line for a retinal imaging test. Another possibility, if you have any retinal toxicity, the arthritis drug, oh, I hope I can say this, the brand name is Plaquenil, the generic name is hydroxychloroquine. This is an arthritis drug, and this drug can damage your retina. You might be asked to do a retinal imaging test if you're taking that drug, Plaquenil, an arthritis drug. And then a fifth possible use for retinal imaging, your doctor may also use this imaging request if your vision is just getting worse and he or she isn't sure why. So what happens during the test? The doctor may dilate your eyes with special drops. This widens your pupils. This will take about 20 minutes for your eyes to be ready for the examination. Next, you will place your chin and forehead on the support to keep your head steady. You'll open your eyes as wide as possible and stare straight ahead at an object while a laser scans your eyes. These images are uploaded to a computer so your doctor can look at them. If the doctor thinks you might have wet macular degeneration, you will probably have a fluorescein angiogram, which is another type of retinal imaging. For this test, the doctor will place an IV needle in a vein in your arm and inject a dye. As the dye enters the back of your eye, it highlights the blood vessels so pictures can be taken. The regular test that we mentioned earlier takes about 5 minutes. The fluorescein angiogram that I just mentioned takes about 30 minutes. Fluorescein, by the way, is the kind of dye that they use. I'll spell that in case you're interested. Fluorescein, F-L-U-O-R-E-S-C-E-I-N, fluorescein angiogram. A special kind of retinal imaging for the back of your eye. Next question, what happens after the test? If your eyes have been dilated, your vision will be blurry for about 4 hours. You'll be sensitive to sunlight, too. You will need to wear sunglasses and probably have someone drive you home. If fluorescein dye was used, do not put soft contact lenses into your eyes for at least 4 hours so they don't get stained by the dye. The images from this test should be ready immediately, and normally your doctor will talk to you about them before you actually leave from the appointment. Next section, what are the benefits and drawbacks? Retinal imaging allows eye doctors to see signs of eye diseases that they couldn't see before. The test itself is painless, and the results are easy for doctors to interpret. Your doctor can store the images on a computer and then compare them with other scans. Retinal imaging has its limitations. It cannot detect a disease where the retina is bleeding. It also may not see problems on the outer edges of your retina. Retinal images may be covered by your medical insurance or Medicare, not your vision insurance. It depends on the terms of your policy, of course, as well as the reason you are having the test done. And once again, this is the information on retinal imaging from www.webmd.com. Now, to round things up, I received in the mail a couple different information pamphlets from, in our case, Rochester Gas and Electric. They also cover NYSEG, New York State Electric and Gas Department. This is pretty good information for anybody anywhere. The pamphlet asks the question, smell natural gas? And it shows a woman holding her nose and making a funny face. Just information you should be aware of. If you smell natural gas, get up, get out, and call us immediately. And they give several phone numbers for local people to call, but I think your best bet is simply to call 911 and tell them you think you smell natural gas. We've added a harmless chemical called mercaptan to natural gas to help you and your family identify leaks. If you smell even a slight odor of natural gas or something you think might be natural gas, don't wait. Once again, get up, get out, and call us or 911 immediately. How do you recognize a leak? You can recognize it by smell, sight, or even sound. And as I just said, for your safety, a distinctive sulfur-like odor, similar to rotten eggs, has been added to natural gas to give it that smell. If you see a white cloud, a mist, a fog, or bubbles in standing water or blowing dust, this might be the sign of a natural gas leak. Sound will also identify this. You may hear an unusual noise like a roaring or a hissing or a whistling. Once again, if you suspect a leak, get up, get out, go somewhere else, and call 911 immediately. Do not use your telephone or your cell phone within your home. Provide us with your exact location, including the cross streets. And this seems like a pretty common warning. Do not smoke, light candles, or operate even electrical switches or appliances. Doing so can produce a spark and cause an explosion. And let us know if sewer construction or digging activities are going on in the area. And most importantly, do not assume that someone else will report the odor. You get up, get out, and call 911. Well, carrying on with the double theme for this program, I found a quote to end the program today. It's actually some investment advice for you. The quickest way to double your money is to fold it over and put it in your back pocket. This advice comes from Will Rogers. I'm sure you've heard of him. He was a stage and motion picture actor, vaudeville performer, American cowboy, humorist, newspaper columnist, and social commentator. Thank you for listening. I hope you have a great week. You've been listening to Enabled, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Our technical director is Maureen Rich, and I'm Nancy Zimmer. I hope you'll join me again next week for more updates and information and encouraging stories. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can listen to it at our website, wxxi.org.